Amen. Hey, thank you so much for being here. Again, happy Father's Day to all of our fathers. And I know for some of you, your father is not here for whatever reason. Maybe he's deployed or maybe he's passed away and you're not with your dad today. We just want you to know our thoughts are with you and we're praying for you today. It is good to see everybody here, especially those of you who are listening online. And if this is your first time here, we are in the middle of a series called Oh Yeah. Oh yeah, and you've probably said that before, right? Like you've said it if you were really excited about something. You were like, oh yeah. Or maybe, you know, someone said something and you didn't quite sure you believe it. And, you know, they said something and you kind of doubted it. And you were like, oh yeah, is that right? Or maybe somebody said something to you and you were like, yeah, right. You sort of said it sarcastically. None of that is what this series is all about. In fact, this series is all about, oh yeah. This series is about, oh yeah, I remember that. Oh yeah, that's true. Oh yeah, I forgot about that, but you're exactly right. That's true. That's what this series is about. That sometimes that we forget about something, there's some truth or something that we forget, and maybe because of life and stuff, you know, things just happen, and then you're sort of rocking along or someone says something, and it's like, oh yeah, I remember that. I understand what you're saying. So the last several months, the Lord has been showing me some oh yeah things. And so I thought what we would do is take a couple of Sundays and just sort of build a series on those and just kind of talk about each one of those. Now today's oh yeah is one of those things that, especially if, you know, if you're a church person and you're a God follower and you know, you're into Jesus like all of us are, if you're one of those people, the truth that I want to share with you, I know you know this. In fact, as soon as I say what this oh yeah is, instead of saying oh yeah, what you're going to be tempted to say is, oh yeah, I know that. I've heard that before. I heard that growing up. I've heard that my entire life. I know exactly what you're talking about. But this truth is so powerful that even though you may know it, more than likely, you don't live as if you know it. In other words, you don't live your life as if you really believe what we're going to talk about is true. And for you, if you're a God person and a church person, for you it's sort of a head thing, but it's not really a heart thing. It's not something you really believe in your heart. And because of that, it causes you and I as Christians to wonder, okay, are God and I okay? Are we good? Is everything okay between me and God? Does He care about me? How are things between me and Him? How does God really feel about me? How does He and what does He think about when He thinks about me? And in this truth that we're going to talk about today, that I'm hoping to remind you of, that hopefully it will get down into your heart where you would begin to live as if it's true. And begin to believe as if it's true. Because when you do that, it will radically change the way that you see God and change the way you think He thinks when He thinks about you. Now, if you're not a church person, you're not a believer, a God follower, you may hear something today that perhaps you've never heard before. And if you're here today and you're wondering, how can I know God? Is it possible to know God? Is it possible to be accepted by God? Is it possible for God and I to have a relationship? You picked a great Sunday to be here because you may just discover something about God that will encourage you maybe to take your next step in your faith journey. Now, one of the best things I get to do in life is be a dad. I love being a dad. I have been a dad for about 20 years, and I am the proud father of three amazing kids. I have a college student, I have a high school student, and I have a middle school student. So I'm right there in the thick of it with all of you dads. But I absolutely love it. Now, if you talk to my kids, they will say, my dad's perfect, even though I'm not. They will say, my dad always knows what to say. He always knows what to do. He says the right thing at the right time, all the time. And I don't always do that. But I love being a dad. I love being with my kids. I love doing things with my kids. As a father, I'm very intentional about staying engaged in their life because I'm interested in engaging with their heart, not just doing things, but engaging their heart. That's very, very important to me as a dad. But I love them so much. And I think all of you who are dads can identify with that. That there is this incredible love that you have as a father for your kids. Now, if you're not a parent, it's hard for you to really identify that, right? I can remember back before I was a parent, I can remember hearing parents say, "Man, I love my kids so much. There's not anything I wouldn't do for them." And I'd hear that and I'd go, "Really? Like you, there's some, yeah, I mean, anything? Like you would actually give your life for your kid?" And they would say, "Absolutely, without hesitation, I would do that." And I'm sitting there thinking about, man, I don't know if I could love somebody that much. And then when we found out Micah was coming along 20 years ago, there were a lot of conversations that Meredith and I had, and I would ask her, "Is it going to be possible for me to love somebody that much? I mean, I love her with everything. Is it going to be, how can I love somebody even more?" And she would always say to me, "Hey, God's going to give you the capacity to do it." And then they were born. And it was like, wow, it is unbelievable how much I love them. And I tell them all the time. In fact, I tease Megan. I said, "Doesn't Daddy love you about that much?" She says, "No." And I say, "Okay, is it that much?" "No." And then she'll come over and she'll pull my fingers apart. "Daddy, you love me this much." I tell them that all of the time. And here's the thing. As much as I tell them and as much as I want them to know that as a father, they really can't understand it. They really cannot grasp it. And it's not anything on them. They just don't know. They just can't comprehend. They just don't and are not able to grasp it. It's hard for them to understand. Now, here's the "oh yeah" I want you to remember today. And again, it's going to be like, "Oh yeah, I've heard that before. What else you got?" If you would today, just push through that. And if you would, just imagine you hear this. You're hearing this for the very first time, okay? And here's the "oh yeah" truth I want you to see. Just as it is hard for us to understand and comprehend the incredible God, the love that I have, that my kids have, that I have for my kids, here's the "oh yeah" truth. God loves you. Oh yeah, I know. Hang on. I know you've heard that before. I know it's like, okay, what else you got? I came here for that. I understand that. Push through that for a moment. And imagine hearing that for the very first time. God loves you. And God loves me. And it doesn't have anything to do with me earning it or me deserving it or me working for it. It doesn't have anything to do with that. It has nothing to do with your past, shame, guilt, whatever it is that you've been carrying on in your life. God loves you. Not only that, listen, He likes you. He actually likes you. Now, would you do me a favor? I want you to look to the person on either side of you. Okay, just take a quick look. And which one of those two people do you like the least? And then here's what I want you to say. God even likes you. That's what I want you to say to the person you like the least, okay? Go ahead. God even likes you. Now, do you know what breaks my heart as a pastor? What breaks my heart is sometimes people will come in and they will talk to me about life or talk to me about, you know, the things that they struggle with. Nobody ever calls when they've got good news. So they'll come in and we'll talk and we'll, you know, we'll get to sort of the bottom level of what's going on. And I'll talk to them about God's love and how much God loves them. And here's their response. Their response is, "Yeah, I know." But they really don't. Yeah, I know, I've heard that. I mean, I've heard you say that before. I've heard preachers say that. I hear that all the time. Yeah, I know God loves me. Yeah, but do you really believe it? Because it's true. God loves you. And again, I know you know that. But do you really believe it? In other words, do you live your life as if that is absolutely true? Do you live your life resting in the incredible love that God has for you? It's interesting, whenever you read the Gospels, which are actually eyewitness accounts of the life of Jesus, well, they all tell us, specifically John and his Gospels, they will tell us that when Jesus came, one of the primary reasons he came was to explain to us what God is like. That we would not know what God is like, we wouldn't have any idea who He is or what He's done. We wouldn't know that except for Jesus coming and saying, here is what God is like. And did you know that when Jesus came, the thing that He referred to God most often is God as a Father? Did you know that? God as a Father. Now, I know for some of you, the idea of God being a father is not that great of news. And it's not that great of news because here's what you think. You immediately think, when you hear God being your father, you immediately think of your earthly father. You begin to think of him and your relationship with him. And for some of us, it wasn't all that great. And you think about the relationship you had with him, and maybe there was some abuse. And in your mind, you're thinking, okay, If God is anything like my earthly father, then I don't want to have anything to do with him. I'm not interested in that. For some of you, maybe your dad's absent. He's just not around. Maybe because of a variety of different reasons. Maybe because he passed away, or maybe because, you know, he lives somewhere in a different place. And, you know, he's still your dad, but he's not around. Some of you have an absent father, maybe because of divorce and the process of all of that. He's just gone. Others of you, you think of a father, and here's what you think. You think performance. Performance, performance, performance. And your dad is a great dad, but you know there are some things that you got to do in order for you to get what you want, his love for you. And you know from him, he doesn't necessarily say it, but you can just tell by his attitude and the way he comes across is, you better run faster than the other guy. You better score more runs. You better score more points. You better make better grades. You better do this. You better do that. You got to earn this. You got to be worthy of this. If you do these things, then I will show you my love. And so when you think about God being a father for you, in your mind, you're thinking performance, performance, performance. Here's the thing. God is not a reflection of your earthly father. He is not a bigger version of your dad. God, the Heavenly Father, is a Father who loves you just the way that you are. And some of you are like, oh, yeah, but you really don't know what I've done. You have no idea what's in my past. You have no idea what I'm ashamed of. There's no way that God could love me after what I've done. Yes, He can. Why? Because His love for you isn't based on anything you do, anything you have done, anything you will do. His love is based on His nature because God is love. God, your Father, because of that, God, your Heavenly Father, He's not angry with you. He's not upset at you. He's not waiting for you to get your act together so that you can receive His love. He loves you just the way that you are. And He can't love you any more than He does at this moment. And nothing you do could ever make Him love you any less. God loves you no matter what. All right, so how do you know that? I'm glad you asked. One time Jesus told this story. It's in Luke chapter 15, if you want to follow along. And in this story, he illustrates the incredible love that God has for people like you and me. And Luke, when he tells this story, he says right off the bat, in Luke chapter 15, verse 1 thereabouts, right off the bat, he says, okay, there are two groups of people who are listening to Jesus, and they've gathered around to hear him. And they're wondering, just like many of us are wondering, what is God like? Who is he? What does he do? What does he feel about me? And so Jesus tells this story because he wants to illustrate how God feels about every single one of them. Luke, when he begins this story, he says, that day Jesus went out to teach, and there were two groups. Actually, there were three groups. We're just going to look at two. There were two groups that were there to hear him. There were tax collectors, and there were sinners. The NLT says notorious sinners. And they're all gathering around to hear Jesus. So you have tax collectors, and you have these sinners. Now, tax collectors were so bad that they had their own category. If you were a sinner, at least you had the privilege of being able to walk around and say, well, at least I'm not a tax collector. Tax collectors were considered traitors by their own Jewish people because they would side with Romans and collect taxes, and so they were considered traitors. And then, you know, they had these notorious sinners who were there, which means everybody kind of knew who they were and knew about their story. And these two groups are listening to Jesus talk, and they know what they think about themselves. They know what other people have thought about them. They can imagine and have a pretty good idea of what God had thought about them because, you know, they're sinners and they're outcasts and they've done some things to put them outside the system and outside the religious environment, and in their minds put them outside the love that God has for them. So Jesus realizes he has both audiences, and he tries to explain who God is and how he feels about every single person. And he begins this story with a very emotional story about a father who had two sons. He said, one day there was a father who had two sons. And one day the younger son came to his father and he said, get this, he said, Father, I know that one day when you die, I'm going to get my share of the inheritance. But things aren't moving as fast as I want, and you know, you're not dying as quickly as I need you to be. And I just need you to go ahead, and if we can, let's just pretend that you're dead so that I can get my share of the inheritance. And now, everybody in Jesus' audience is equally offended for a son to say that to a father. Was so offensive in first century Jewish culture. And Jesus, this master storyteller, creates this worst case scenario that just gets worse as the story goes on. And then to everybody's amazement, Jesus said, and the father said, okay. And everybody listening to Jesus that day was offended and shocked that a son would say that to his father, and that the father would say, okay. Jesus continues that the father went about selling a lot of his possessions, and so took him a while to gather the money, and then he eventually gave it to his younger, rude son, his part of the inheritance. And I imagine when Jesus said that, you could have heard a pin drop in the audience. Who would do such a thing? Jesus says the younger son decides he's going to stick around for a little while, but he thinks, you know what, this little town isn't big enough for me, and so he decides to head off into the big city. And he takes his money, and we can imagine he buys a condo, and he buys a couple of cars, and he begins to get friends because friends are attracted to people with money. And then he's got some girlfriends and they all get together. And night after night, it's party after party after party. And they're drinking and they're dancing and they're doing all kinds of things. And as you can imagine, after a while, the money runs out, Jesus said. And Jesus said this young man squandered everything it had taken his father a lifetime to amass. And if you were in the crowd that day, and you were listening to Jesus tell this story, you would have been absolutely amazed at what he said. Because here is Jesus telling this story and listening to what he is saying, you would have felt what probably everybody in that audience felt. You would have felt anger. Jesus goes on, eventually the son had to get a job, and then eventually there was a famine. He lost his job. He was hungry. His friends left him. The bank came in. They repossessed his cars, and he had to move out of his condo. Things were very, very bad for this young man. And everybody in Jesus' audience is listening to him and saying, that's exactly right. Not only is he getting what he deserves, but God is punishing him for what he has done. Jesus continues, he's feeding pigs, and which for a Jewish person was the worst job imaginable. And again, they're thinking, aha, God's getting him. God's punishing him. He's getting what he deserves. One day Jesus says, the young man just comes to his senses. He doesn't like where he is in life. He doesn't like what's going on in his life. He doesn't like how things are going. And he begins to think about home and begins to think about his father and what it must be like to be at home. And he thinks, maybe I should go back. But if I go back, he thinks, how will my father receive me? What will he say to me? What would he do for me or do to me? Would he be angry with me and want nothing to do with me? And Jesus says that this young man decided that whatever he was doing and experiencing, it was, you know, going home was a lot better than where he was. And so he decides he's going to take his chances. And he decides to head home, wondering what his father might say and what his father might do when he saw his son. Here's where we pick up the story, verse 18, if you're in Luke chapter 15. I will come, I will go home to my father, and I will say to him. You know what he does? He begins to write a speech. He begins to write this speech, and he's writing this speech because he knows that he can't just go walking home and walking in and say, hey, I'm back, like nothing's ever happened. So he knows that if he is going to have to prepare this speech because he is expecting that his father would respond like you and I probably would respond when a son does that. And so he prepares this speech and he's expecting his dad to be mad. He's expecting his dad to say, what do you want? You know, if you come back for more money, what did you do with the money I gave you? Did you go and squander? You know, what are you doing? So he decides he's going to write this speech and he knows it better be a really, really, really good speech. Or he's not ever going to get on the property. Jesus continues. Here's his speech. Here's how it goes. Middle of verse 18. He says, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy of being called your son. Please take me on as one of your hired servants. He's not even expecting to be a son. He's just needing a job. Please take me on as one of your hired servants. In verse 20, so he got up and he went to his father, rehearsing his speech the entire way home. Then Jesus, this master storyteller, tells us this in verse 20. And while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. In other words, Jesus says that this father is looking out into the distance, and all of a sudden, he sees his son. He sees his son off in the distance, and Jesus seems to imply that the father was there day after day looking for him, wanting him to come home, looking for him to come home. And all of a sudden, Jesus says the father looks out and he sees his son walking toward home in the distance. And every day he'd been waiting and the crowd is here listening to Jesus and they're thinking, well, yeah, I know the father's waiting. The father's waiting to get him. The father's waiting to punish him. The father is waiting to give him what he deserves. If I ever see that kid again, if I ever get my hands on that kid again, that's what the people in the crowd are thinking about this father who sees his son coming home. Jesus said, and while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with, now don't read ahead, was filled with, if you were there that day and you would have turned to anybody in Jesus' audience and said, what do you think Jesus is going to say next? He was filled with anger. And that's right, he deserves it. After a son treated him that way, after a son did that to him, after a son offended him like that, you would expect Jesus to say anger. Because how dare a son disrespect his father that way? Anger is what you're supposed to feel when someone takes advantage of you. Anger is what you expect the father to feel. But Jesus, this master storyteller, he says this, and while the son was still a long way off, the father saw him and was filled with love and compassion. Whoa, Jesus, wait a minute. Love and compassion? Come on. After what he did? The Father was filled with love and compassion. Whoa, Jesus, don't you mean anger? I mean, you mean the Father, when he saw him, he was angry. And Jesus said, when he saw him, he was filled with love and compassion. Jesus, come on. How can he be filled with love and compassion? He hasn't even heard the boy's speech yet. He doesn't even know what the son is going to say. He has no idea what's happening here and what he's going to say to his dad. None of that has come true yet. He hasn't even heard the story, and yet he's filled with compassion. You mean to tell me that while he's a long way off and the Father just saw him, that the only thing he felt, Jesus, was love and compassion? Let me ask you a question. Has it ever crossed your mind that when God looks at you, when God sees you, that he would feel love and compassion to you? Has that ever crossed your mind? Or do you go to him with your stuff and say, God, I know there's no way. Has it ever crossed your mind? And I think for most of us, the answer would be no. Because we look at what we struggle with, we look at how we overreact sometimes, we look at how we come across to people in our own life, and on the worst day, if at the end of the day you were to ask me, how do you think God feels about you, David? Would it ever cross my mind that God looks at you and looks at me, and every single time he sees you with love and compassion? Has that ever crossed your mind? Well, yeah, but you know what I've done. It's not what I asked. Has it ever crossed your mind that when God looks at you, he would feel love and compassion? And listen, just like my kids don't understand the incredible love I have for them, you and I don't understand how much God would and could love us that much. Jesus said his Father felt compassion for him, and his Father then does something, Jesus said, that you would never see in that day. And what Jesus said next, I think it sent his audience in a tizzy. Here's what he said. And the Father ran to his son, embraced him, and then kissed him. I remember he'd been with pigs. The Father didn't care about that. He runs to him, he embraces him, and he kisses him. Now, you got to get the picture. The Father is running to the son. He runs up, he embraces the son, and he's just hugging the boy, and he's hugging and slobbering all over him. And the son's going, Dad, wait, hang on, I got to give you my speech. You haven't heard what I've said. You need to hear what I say, so then you can decide to accept me back. Then you can decide, do you want me back? Then you can decide if we can have a relationship with him again. But Dad, you've not heard my speech. And he's just hugging and loving and hugging and embracing the boy. He hadn't heard anything that the boy has said, and the dad's just hugging and loving on him. And the dad didn't care about the speech. This was his son, and his son was home. And verse 21, the scripture says, and the son said to him, now he's about ready to give his speech, right? Because he's rehearsed it all the way home. The son said to him, here he goes, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. And his dad's just hugging on him and kissing on him and embracing him. The father's not even listening to his son's speech. Do you know why? Not because he doesn't care, but because it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. This son, my son, is now back home. Jesus concludes the story by saying, Father tells his servants, but the father said to the servants, quick, he didn't even respond to the son when you read the text. He says, quick, bring out the best robe and put it on, and the ring on his finger, sandals on his feet, which means he's always been my son. There's never been a time when he wasn't my son. My son is now home. And by the way, bring the fatted calf. You know the one we've been saving for? The one we've been saving for like a special occasion, a wedding, Father's Day, whatever. That calf that we've been saving for, he says, I want you to get it. and I want you to prepare it because we're going to have a feast and we are going to celebrate. And everybody in Jesus' audience is like, what? You have got to be kidding. And Jesus says, that is what God thinks about when he thinks about you. Every single time when God looks at you, he looks at you with love and compassion. Every single time. No matter what you've done, no matter how bad you've been, no matter what's in your past, Jesus says when God looks at you, he sees love and he sees compassion. 1 John 4:9 says this, that God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world to die on a cross for sin. You know what that means? It means our behavior, listen, you need to know this. Our behavior never influences and impacts how God feels about us. Never. Yeah, but our behavior never changes how God feels about us. And I know what you're thinking. You think, yeah, God loves me. Now, I can understand why he would love you, preacher, because you are a preacher. You've got like this bat phone in your office. You've got a straight line to God. They actually pay you to be good. So I know that God loves you because you're the preacher. That's not why God loves me. Look, if you knew what was in my life and you know the things that I've struggled with and if you know what some of the things that are in my past, I mean, you'd be like, hey, let's share stories sometime. God loves me regardless. Yeah, but you don't know what I did 20 years ago. Doesn't matter. You don't know what I struggle with, what sin I struggle with. Doesn't matter. You don't know what I'm involved in right now. You don't know what I did last night. You don't know what I've done over summer break. You don't know what I have done. It doesn't matter. God, your Heavenly Father, loves you. And every single time he sees you, he looks at you with love and compassion. Do you remember this song we used to sing as kids? Jesus loves me, this I know. Why? For the Bible tells me so. Most of us have been singing that since we were kids. And here we are adults. We still doubt it. We still struggle to believe that he could love me. Because we think that God loves us based on what we do or don't do. If I go to church, he really loves me. If I miss church, well, not so much. That's what we think. God looks at you and he loves you and he sees you with love and compassion. And when he looks at you, if you ever wonder how he feels about you, here's how he feels about you. He feels like a son or a daughter who has been separated because of their sin, and he patiently waits, and he longs for the day when he or she returns to me, he says, and when he sees them, Jesus says, he's not mad, but he is compassionate, and he runs toward them and embraces them and celebrates them and celebrates the fact that they've come back, and it makes no difference where they have been or what they have done. God always responds with love and compassion. I can see it on your faces. It's like, yeah, okay, if you say so, it's not me saying it. It's Jesus himself saying it. Now, would you do this with me? Would you say this with me? Just say, I am loved by God. I say it like you mean it. I am loved by God. So I'm like, blah, 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 blah. I am loved by God. Listen, on your worst day, man, when you have blown it as a dad, you have blown it as a husband, on your very worst day, and you wonder, how does God feel about me? What does God think about me? Just remember, oh yeah, oh yeah. I am loved by God. Remember what you've said. I am loved by God. And nothing you ever do will make Him love you any less. And nothing you ever do will make Him love you any more than He does at this moment. Every single time your Heavenly Father looks at you, He sees you with love and compassion. Would you bow your head and close your eyes? Because I would imagine that there's some of you here, and it's just hard for you to believe. I get it. It's hard for me to believe sometimes, too. But it's true. He loves you. And today, if you're really struggling with that, my prayer for you is that God would break through all of that and you would be convinced of how much He loves and cares for you. With your eyes closed and with your head bowed, the Scripture says, you know how much God loves you, that He was willing to send His one and only Son to die on a cross for man's sin. And if you're here today and there's never been a moment in your life where you have embraced Jesus as your personal Savior, Jesus has come to be the Savior of the world, and today He can be your personal Savior. And maybe there's never been a moment in your life where you've embraced Him as your personal Savior. And you know you can, right where you're seated. Just say this prayer after me in the quietness of your heart. Father, thank You for loving me. Thank You for loving me enough to send Your Son Jesus, who died on a cross for my sin. He took my place, and He paid my sin debt. And this morning, I embrace Him as my personal Savior. Help me to know what it's like to experience Your love and to live as if it is absolutely true, because today I believe it is. In Jesus' name, with your eyes closed and with your head bowed this morning, if you prayed that prayer, would you do us a favor? In just a moment when the service concludes, would you go and make your way right outside the halls across the way into our Connection Center? We have some folks there who would love to meet you and talk with you, and I will make my way back there as well. If you're here today and you want to talk about something, maybe something that you're struggling with and you just need someone to pray with, you can make back there in the Connection Center. And we have folks there that will pray with you. If you're here for the very first time as a guest, we have a gift for you just to thank you for coming. I hope that you'll come back there and grab that. But more than anything, I want you to understand on this Father's Day that God is our perfect Heavenly Father, who every single time He sees us with love and compassion. Father, that is big news. For some of us, we have heard that, and we have heard that our entire life. For some of us, Father, we've never experienced that kind of love from anyone else in the entire world. And to think and to know that You love us no matter what, it's that You love us just like we are, that's just hard to believe. And so, Father, in these few moments, whatever is in the way of believing that, whether it's our past or an experience we've had, maybe our mom or our dad, the way we've been treated, the way maybe we treated other people, whatever it is in the way of that, would You, Father, just begin in these moments to clear that out of the way so that we can begin to see You for who You really are, that You're a God of love and compassion, and that you love us. Would you take that from our heads and implant that deeply into our hearts? Is our prayer today in the amazing name of Jesus, who loved us and gave himself for us. It's in his name that we pray. Amen and amen.